Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Happy Hour. Guys, we have a great show today. My friend Hunter Belis came in. She flew down from Northwest Arkansas, joined me in the studio, and we had a really great conversation about Bible literacy. And that's a word that her and I both attribute to our friend Jen Wilkin. In fact, I'll tell you real quick. Jen Wilkin has been on the show before. She wrote a book called Women of the Word. Highly, 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 highly recommend that book. If you want to hear Jen and I talk, oh my gosh, it's forever ago. Episode number 14. 14, you guys. It came out in 2014. Anyhow, today on the show, we talk about Bible literacy. And Hunter is doing some phenomenal work with helping children and families really integrate Bible literacy into their family time. And she has a new book that's coming out just a couple weeks on April 19th. It's called Read It, See It, Say It, Sing It, Knowing and Loving the Bible. And this is a kid's book. And so she tells us in here why she wanted to write a book for kids about this. And I really appreciate her take on that. And so if you know around here, I love kids' books. I have four kids myself. They're all grown up now. I'm not reading books like this anymore. But I will say that when my kids were little, this would have been a very important book in my house. On the show today, Hunter, I also talk about like homeschool life and motherhood. And we talk about something serious that she just went through this year, a terminal cancer diagnosis with her father, and then eventually led to his death not much longer after his diagnosis. We talked about what it's been like for her to grieve with three young kids, and I was very grateful for her vulnerability and honesty with us. You guys, you're going to love this show. You guys, I want to ask a favor of you. If you are a longtime listener of the Happy Hour, I hope that there has been some time in your Happy Hour listening that you have gone to whatever platform you listen to the show and you've given us a really great rating. We'll take 5 stars. Oh gosh, we'll take that. And maybe a review of the show, because it doesn't do our pride any good. I'm not sitting over here reading those every week, but it helps more people find the show. And I have never believed in the work that we do here at the Happy Hour more than I have in the last 1 to 2 years. The messages I get, the people's lives that are changed because we're having conversations that matter. And I would just love it if you would do that, because it helps more people find the show. And we want more people listening to the Happy Hour so they hear phenomenal conversations like I had today with Hunter. So wherever you listen, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, go leave us a rating and a review, and that'd be awesome. Okay, before we get to Hunter, I just want to do a little housekeeping here. Did you guys hear the show on Friday? It was with my friend Jackie Hill Perry, and we did a little deep dive into the docuseries that Netflix recently released called Cheer. If you haven't seen it, you'll still get a lot out of this conversation. If you have seen it, I think you'll really enjoy it. And then next week, my friend Jen Hand joins me on the show. And not only is she hilarious, but we have a really great conversation that I think you're also going to be inspired by. All right, y'all, here is my friend Hunter. Hunter, welcome to the Happy Hour.
It is such a joy to be here. I got to tell you, I cannot even believe that I am on the Happy Hour after having listened to the Happy Hour for probably 5 or 6 years at this point.
Well, I can't believe that this is your first time on the Happy Hour. That's what I really can't believe. And this is a true story. Lindsay can attest. I have been saying I want to have you on the show forever.
Wow. That's absolutely crazy, because I just remember walking the streets of Fort Hood, Texas, before you even knew my name, listening to you and your guests and thinking, man, I'm so grateful for this edifying conversation. And then really aspiring to like do what you do, because you made it look so enjoyable.
You're so kind. I love starting my day with you, Hunter. This is the best. Okay, well, thank you. I'm so grateful for you listening. And you have your own podcast that I want to talk about because it's exciting. I have also listened to your show. In fact, I don't know if you know this, I quoted a guest from your show in my last book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Abigail Dodds?
Yes.
I quoted her.
Wonderful. She's a dear
friend. I don't remember
what
she said, but I was listening to your show. And I was like, oh, that is so good. Oh, I think I know what she said. Look at me. It's coming back to me. This is what you... this is about writing a book. You forget what you write. I think she was talking about you can't be content in someone else's life, or you can't be content while watching someone else's life. Does that sound vaguely familiar?
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
you guys might have talked about. Okay, anyhow. Well, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Thank
Hunter.
You so,
so
much.
Okay,
so
introduce
fun.
Yourself. You do not live in Fort Hood anymore.
I don't.
You have lived in a few places since then.
Yes.
Tell me about your life now.
Wow. So we currently live in Northwest Arkansas, And since living at Fort Hood, I think we've lived in 7 different locations. Originally, my husband was in the U.S. Army, so I followed him around all over the South, and then he decided to get out of the Army, and I followed him up to New England, where he studied at Tuck Business School. We did 2 years in New England, and then he is currently doing his first civilian job in Bentonville. So, yeah.
We love Northwest Arkansas, by the way, here at the Happy Hour, so yes. Yeah. You've landed in a great place.
So many guests from the Happy Hour.
Yes. And I think that you're here in Austin right now. You've been to Austin before, previously, in all your life.
Right.
We think, and I don't know who we is, but me, I think Northwest Arkansas is this little bitty Austin.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. We want to be Austin when we grow up. Okay. For sure.
But I also want to say this, and I really believe this. I think there's this really sweet Christian community in Northwest Arkansas
yes.
that I don't feel everywhere else. I mean, it feels yes. special.
Yeah. Actually, when I went to school there, so 10 years, 12 years ago now at this point, I went to school at the University of Arkansas.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Go hogs, pig, suey, whatever you say.
Woo pig.
Woo pig. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. And I found that to be true. And that's where I really interfaced with a host of mentors in my own life and really grew a ton spiritually in that community. And so that ultimately was what kind of drew us back to that area when we were looking for a place to be a little bit more established as a family. So, yeah, we have 3 kids. I forgot to mention them. And they just comprise most of my day. Hadley, Davey, and Beau. They're 7, 5, and 3 now.
They're maybe the cutest kids in the world, by the way.
I just love doing life with them. And so that's what I do for the most part. And then also host the Journey Women podcast in the fringe hours when they're napping or sleeping.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is a handful. When I started the podcast, I still had 1 kid at home. Okay, so Story was not yet in kindergarten. She wasn't in full day school. And that was always hard of trying to fit that in. I want to give you some advice. Okay, you didn't ask for it.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to give you some advice. I've said this before publicly. It's like my confession of a really terrible motherhood thing I wish I could take back.
Hmm.
Story's last year before she went to kindergarten. I was doing the happy hour. I really wanted to do it more. And I wanted her to be in school so badly.
Hmm.
And I was just like, if she could just get in school, I could start my life. If she could just go to school, I'd be able to do whatever I want. And I literally look back and wish I could get that year back.
Hmm.
So that's for you and any mom out there that is like, once these kids get here, then I can do this or whatever. And it just, I'm sending a kid to college next year.
Wow.
It happens in a second.
It's absolutely amazing how long you've been doing the happy hour. And then also just to think about when we're looking at other people's lives at a distance, to consider the context. Like people might look at your life and think, oh, you know, as a new mom, I want to be doing what Jamie does. And which I look back at my time at Fort Hood, Texas, and I thought it would be so fun to get to do what Jamie does.
Mm.
And now I get to do what you do to a very small degree, but I constantly am having to pull back and examine my own season of life and consider, okay, but what does that look like in the context that the Lord has placed me in? And to remember that our seasons look different.
Yeah. Okay. So, but how do you do that? Because I think that's a lot of women struggle, is whatever that might be. And I'm in a different season of motherhood, but I can still struggle with that same thing. Or if I could just be in this stage of a business or this stage of my mom life or this stage of my work life, that discontentment, even that I kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, what do you do to keep your mind focused on, okay, right now in this stage of my life, I got 3 kids who you're homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my podcast. You have a kids book coming out in a month. How do you stay content?
I think from moment to moment, it's just asking the Lord, what does it look like to be faithful in the next thing that you've given me? And that often helps me when I'm looking at future opportunities and things like that, just to ask myself, okay, given what the Lord has set before me in my season right now, am I going to be able to walk in faithfulness to what he's called me to if I say yes to these things?
Mm.
And so that is really the barometer for me of like, am I being faithful to the things that the Lord has set before me with the kids and the people that he's given me to love in this particular moment?
Well, I know, like you said, we see people's life from afar or on the internet.
Yeah.
But from what I see, from what you share with us, I always want to say that we only know a person and what they share with us.
Yeah.
What you share with the world, you are doing a phenomenal job with that.
Thank you.
Motherhood well. You're doing internet life well. You're doing podcast life well. So you're doing a great job.
But by the grace of God.
I love that, but you are.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. So your three kids, who I think are the cutest in the world, and you started homeschooling, I think, during pandemic life.
Yeah. It was totally because of the pandemic. I did not foresee myself being a homeschooling mom. I'm not a convictional homeschooling mom. I wasn't like, this is the way that I think school needs to be done. It just happened because we were in New England and I had a kindergartner and I thought, well, I'm not very good at following someone else's instructions. So
for this pandemic life, when you're supposed to be teaching with the schools
virtually,
yes,
and they give you the curriculum and they tell you what to do, I found during preschool that I wasn't very good at following their instructions. So I thought, well, maybe I need to consider choosing a curriculum that works for us, and then we could do it for 4 days instead of five, and then we could continue adventuring on the weekends and things like that. So that's how we started. And then when we moved to Northwest Arkansas, I really did not want to continue homeschooling. I think that it was probably for similar reasons that you described, wanting Story to go to kindergarten. And I really wrestled with the Lord over this. I really wrestled with Brooks over this, my husband. And I remember Brooks saying, you know, I really think that we want to be building into our family culture in this way by having the children at home. And I just thought, you do not know how hard it is. Like, I am the one who has to be the teacher, the mom, also like run a small business out of the house. Like, I don't think I have capacity for this. So I actually enrolled my oldest in the local public school, which is a great school. And we went, we toured the school, we met the teacher. She had the nameplate. She was actually sitting next to a guy named Brooks, which is her dad's name.
Yeah.
So I thought, everything is like perfectly aligned for her to go to this local school. But when we got into the room, she and I both just felt like, wow, we're not ready for this. And all I could think was like, I want to be your teacher. And the amazing thing through that whole process was that we did not know that just a few weeks later, my dad would be diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so we walked out of the school. I felt so embarrassed. I ended up messaging the lady who does like all the administration stuff. And I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry. I think we're going to pull her. Had nothing to do with the school. It was a great school, great teacher. But for some reason, we just don't feel ready. And then within like a week or two, we found out that my dad was terminally ill with cancer. And so it ended up being such a gift to be able to have the flexibility to go back and forth between where my parents live and where we are living during that time of his illness. So we're so grateful.
You know, I think that's just this beautiful example of like how in life you have these moments, like you're talking about homeschool, you know, and that feels like, oh, it's a major decision for your family. I mean, this is a family, it's a major decision for you. And how you really just kind of walked open-handedly with that and were able to listen to the Spirit, because like you said, you had no idea what was to come. And I think there's so many times in our life that God is asking us to really live this open-handed life, not just because he wants our servant hearts and not just because he wants us to faithfully follow him. Those are both true. But I think also he's like, because I want you to be ready for what is to come.
Absolutely.
And we have no way of knowing what that is, just like you. So your dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And actually, it was not very long until he passed away. How long was that?
It was like 3 weeks and one day. And we had no indicator that he was ill with cancer, especially that it would have been progressed to that degree. So it was extremely surprising for the whole thing to take place.
So can you talk about that? And like, what, how did that go down for your dad and your mom and your family walking through that?
So we knew that dad was experiencing some pain, and we actually moved back to the area to be able to kind of help my mom as he was navigating some issues with chronic pain. But we had no clue, like I said, that it was cancer. And I actually went to my grandmother at the time, was also diagnosed with pneumonia, and she was placed on hospice. So I went to say goodbye to my grandmother. And that weekend, my dad was presenting some more concerning symptoms. And so he went to the doctor after I had said goodbye to my grandmother, basically. And that Monday, he found out that cancer had basically spread throughout his whole body. It was called metastatic melanoma. So apparently you can have melanoma even if you don't have like a spot on your skin. It can be under your fingernails. It can be in your eyes. We're not really sure where his originated, but it was absolutely incredible how quickly he degenerated. And it was a very disorienting time. I'll say I've never experienced the degree of brain fog and stress that I underwent during those 3 weeks and then thereafter.
Yeah. I think grief is something that I've heard a lot of people on the show talk about and say one of my favorite ways they've described it as you're standing in this ocean and you know the wave is coming. You just don't know when it's coming. Mm-hmm. And then it's continually coming. And I imagine that's what your life has been like since your dad passed, of just like these waves of grief overcoming. You talk about how that was kind of this fog and disorienting, and you're parenting three children, you're running a small business, you are homeschooling, you're in the middle of writing and releasing a book. I think that all of those together is what other people are like. Grief doesn't just show up when we have time for it, is what I'm for trying to say. And it doesn't just show up when life is like, oh, this is a great time to walk through grief. What has helped you walk through grief while also helping your kids walk through grief and also being a wife and also homeschooling?
It's really just taking it moment by moment. I mean, when I looked at the situation, I thought to myself, how am I even going to have time to grieve with three little kids? I'll never forget when I, you know, realized that my dad went on hospice. I got the message and I had been laying by the foot of my son's bed trying to get him to go down for a nap. And of course, as soon as the message pops up on my phone, I just start weeping. And I come out and my daughter said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "Well, because, you know, mommy just found out that Poppy went on hospice." And my daughter said, "That?" She goes, "You've been sad about that for weeks." I thought to myself, God, how am I going to do this grief journey with insensitive human beings who don't have any capacity to understand the depths of my sadness? And so it really has been this opportunity to walk out what it looks like to navigate sadness and to do that in front of my kids. I wouldn't say my kids have actually been particularly sad. And that's been one of the hardest things, is not having someone to share in my sadness when I am experiencing those waves of grief. And so trying to be honest about what I'm experiencing and to welcome them into that, I think, is such a wonderful opportunity to model for them something that I don't know that we've done very well as a church, to grieve with others. And so I hope that maybe this will be something that they look back on and in the future when they're walking through hard times or when they're walking alongside someone that's navigating grief, maybe they'll be able to reference this experience and remember what it was like to walk alongside mommy as she grieved the loss of her own father.
I'm telling you, our kids will just straight up say whatever they're thinking in a moment. Your it's daughter so was true. Like, "Are we still doing this?"
You've been grieving for 3 weeks.
And this was before your dad even passed. Exactly. I mean, yeah, you're like, "Oh girl, hold on. We're going to keep going here." You know, it's true. And I can't remember who said this on the show one time, but they talked about how culturally our culture, not even just our church culture, but just culture in general, doesn't do grief like they used to. And used to, you would know if someone was grieving. They would wear clothing that would show they were grieving. They were, you know, weeks and months that were set aside for grieving. And I think that's even hard in our society, is everybody just is like, life goes on, you know, and everyone keeps moving. I remember not grieving the loss of someone, but particularly hard seasons of my life. I remember one time waking up and this is so dumb, but I was like, how are people still on the Today Show? Like, how is the world moving when I am so, so sad?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about you is that you love God's word. Like, you deeply love God's word.
I do.
I love God's word, and I love seeing someone who loves God's word. In fact, we're going to talk about your book in a minute for kids. It is just the cutest thing in the world. What has that been for you in the midst of grief, God's word?
You know, I've been so thankful for God's word. It's really been the only stabilizing thing through all of this, because even before Dad's death, we were disrupted moving from New England and this community that we so loved, right? And so much of walking through grief is welcoming your community to walk alongside you in that. And yet we had moved just before, walking through the hardest thing I've ever walked through in my life. So I didn't even really have a community or a church body to come alongside me in that season. So I was so disoriented. And yet God's word has never been more grounding than it was in that season. And I'm telling you what, there were so many books that came across my desk that were all related to walking through a season of grief. And I remember opening almost all of them and just feeling like none of this resonates. Wow. But when I would open up God's word, I really saw Hebrews 4:12 like become real to me, that this book has the power to divide soul from spirit, and that this thing is helping me to navigate this season in a way, and God really ministered to my heart through it. And, you know, I did have a Bible study that I was a part of locally, and we were studying the book of Philippians, and it was so interesting because you would not think that Philippians is like the book that you're going to turn to
in grief,
in the midst of right. grief. Mm-hmm. Like you think maybe you're going to go to the Psalms or Lamentations, mm-hmm. something like that. And Philippians is this letter to the church at Philippi. And I just remember as I was reading, like thinking, wow, when Paul wrote this, he was literally imprisoned. Mm-hmm. And so when we're reading, like, rejoice always, like this isn't coming from someone who isn't for lack of hardship. He has nobody around him to encourage and exhort him. He's in prison and he's still like writing to encourage the church. And so it was just such a wonderful thing for me to just remember God's faithfulness to his people in times of hardship. And that really helped ground me in my own season of hardship as well.
It's what's so beautiful about God's word is that it really does have the ability to speak to us.
Yes.
And it's something that sometimes even when I say it out loud, I'm like, people must think we're really weird mm-hmm. that we actually believe that this book can actually speak to us. And yet it is God's word. It is him. It is for his people.
Yeah, living and active.
Living and active for us right where we are. And so I love that.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Full serve millions, the best Big Mac, and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interest. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you and Brooks have moved a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You have gone through a really difficult season of grief that you're probably still in. I don't want to assume that you are gone through anything. Motherhood, all the things, a lot of life transitions. Mm-hmm. And I think transitions, I mean, we've all been in the midst of this pandemic. And so transitions have been sometimes not even our choice right now, but a lot of transitions in people's lives and a lot of changing circumstances. And you really are trying to say, like, hey, what is going to be grounding to us in the midst of transitions, in the midst of mm-hmm. circumstances? What has that been like for you and Brooks? Like, what are some things that are really helpful for you guys in all the different things that you've been through in the last 7 years?
I do think it comes back to God's word and just remembering that transitions are really a part of the story of God's people from the very, very beginning. And even before the fall, we see that God had given Adam and Eve this command to be fruitful, multiply, and to have dominion over all the earth. And so thinking about the fact that transitions were a pre-fall thing, it's not necessarily bad to be walking through a transition. And yet so often we affiliate transitions with something negative, you know, like we account for all this loss. And I think the thing that's been helpful for me is thinking how God is over all of the transitions that we face and seeing how he has used all of the transitions that we see even in redemptive history from times of old to bring about his purpose, mm-hmm. and how he continues to do that in the lives of his people in the present. And that has just been so wonderful to me, for me to think about what Paul says, you know, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Like, an ambassador is somebody who is sent on behalf of another. So when I'm being transitioning to a new location, or when I'm even transitioning, you know, from one church to the next, or from one situation to the next, one school to the next, like, thinking about, this isn't just a random thing that I'm having to undergo. This is actually the Lord sending me to this place, and he's given me this message. Scripture's clear, like, we have been given the message of reconciliation, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So there's great purpose in every transition that we face, even if we don't have understanding of what that purpose is in the present. We do know that if we look back from times past, we can look into the future and say the purpose ultimately is for God's glory and our good.
It's so good. And I always think, like, when I'm listening to you say this, what I'm thinking is, like, okay, if someone's listening and they're in the midst of a transition right now that feels uncomfortable, this is good news. Like, this right. is this is good news for us, you guys. But I also think to myself, like, I don't feel like I'm in that right now. Like, I feel like I'm not in the midst of a transition right now.
Yeah.
But what I want to say to the listener is, this is when you have to believe these things as well.
Hmm.
Because it's harder to believe things sometimes when you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
So I always like to say, like, you have to find what is true, believe it before you have to, like,
for sure.
act out on it. If that
for
makes
sure.
sense.
You oh, it totally mean? Does. And building into, I think, understanding that storyline of the Bible and looking back on the faithfulness of God to his people in times past will help when you are in a present struggle. And so in the time where you're feeling more grounded and more settled and more established, and you're feeling, like, pretty okay about your situation, just remembering that making investments into your biblical literacy and understanding and remembering the story of God is going to help you to navigate whatever situation you might find yourself facing in the future.
So good. Okay, you just said making investments into your biblical literacy.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to explain that to people.
You know, that does sound really intimidating. I think what I've learned as a student of God's word is that those investments can be really small. And that is what I'm doing right now as a mother. When in times past, I may have had the opportunity to sit with my Bible open and to take in lots of the story of God through his word, and to invest in knowing that in a way that's a lot more robust. But right now, I am doing the best that I can, Jamie, with a three-year-old who tumbles down the stairs at 5:30 in the morning. So I am just remembering that every single one of those investments, what I mean by that is taking in God's word, thinking about it, reflecting on it, that is all building into my understanding of what God has done for his people. And even though it might be small, it's still contributing to my understanding of the big story of the Bible, and that will inform the way in which I go about my day. So none of it is wasted. And I think the temptation for people who are in my season in particular is just to save it for another season.
Oh yeah.
Because we don't have time. Mm-hmm. We don't feel like we have time to do to make the investment that we desire to make.
Or that you think you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If that, you know,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, to be able to build into your biblical literacy.
Then I need to put in an hour and a half every day.
Exactly.
With quiet study time in a room with dim lights and some coffee.
Yes.
And and that is not the season of your life.
That has not been the season of my life for the last 7 years. And that for me was really a journey of understanding, you know, if I want to know God and love him, I'm going to have to figure out a new way to do this. Because mm-hmm. I was used to sitting down with my Bible and reading it for hours at a time. And that just didn't work for me in the context of motherhood. And I had that all or nothing mindset with my first. And then over time, I began to see, man, I need God's word like I need food. And I have to take this in, because I've got to remember in those times, like we were talking about, why I'm here and who he is and why I'm here. Because so often you're just like, what am I even doing? I don't know. And I think remembering who God is through his word is what helps us to remember what we're doing here. And so I had to begin to do that in really creative ways.
I think it's important for people who are in your stage of life. You have three young kids, yeah. You're parenting and homeschooling. To really hear that and like let that sink in. Like if that is your stage of life, like you, every investment that you make matters.
Yes.
You know? And so that I think is so important. And on the flip side, I also like to encourage moms that it doesn't give you this pass that you will start to invest when the kids are older.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I think it can go one. I feel like when I talk to moms with young kids, it's one way or the other. They're struggling because they feel like they can't get enough in, or they're struggling because they're not taking anything in.
Yeah.
And you're saying you've got to find that space in the middle.
Absolutely. You have to lower your expectations, and then you also have to expect more.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes. Lower them and make them higher. Like, how do we do that? What is it? I think we're contradicting ourselves, but I think it's like everyone needs to know there is a place for Bible literacy when you're parenting young kids. That's, I think, what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think we all want to be teaching our kids God's word. And oftentimes we feel like we need to have this special method or this special time in which we do that. But what I am learning is that more than anything, they need to see a mom who needs God's word. Mm. And so even if it doesn't look like getting the Bible out with the candle and the cup of coffee, if they see mom breaking out her Bible or even scrolling on the Bible app to find a verse to meditate on throughout the day, you're modeling for them what it looks like to genuinely look to the word for guidance and to seek to know and love God through his word. And so I think we often feel like we have to have this isolated time of study, and then we often feel like we have to have this isolated time of teaching our children. And it just, for me, has played out a lot more organically than that.
I think there's a lot of freedom in that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of freedom in that because we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves that it has to be how it used to be, mm-hmm. or it has to be how you think it should be. And I think that what you're saying and what is so beautiful is that like God's word is living and active. We've said that. God's word is going to meet you where you are. So invest in it and take a lot of that shame off of yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of those like unrealistic expectations off. I remember when my kids were little, I would open my Bible and start to read it, get interrupted, obviously, but I would just leave it there on the table all mm-hmm. day. And when can I come back to it? Like, what does that look like to come back to it? Now you talk about like teaching your kids scripture, and mm-hmm. this is, I have a lot of favorite things about you, but this is one of my favorite things about you right now is you invite your Instagram friends into seeing how you're doing this. And if you guys are not following Hunter on Instagram, it's just, you're public, right? You don't have a private page. Okay, good.
That's it.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I tell people to go follow people, and then they're like, it's private. And I'm like, come on, y'all.
I've thought about it.
But if you are a mom to young kids, you need to be following her 100%. But you really do invite your kids into scripture memory. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk about when this started, how it is, and then tell me about your book, obviously, that I'm so excited about.
Well, it was really birthed out of my own need. Mm. And like I was saying, I was used to having this isolated, quiet time in which I sat down and really was able to study God's word. And then I just came to this recognition that that's not going to happen. And I don't know when that's ever going to happen again. And so how am I going to get God's word into my mind and into my heart so that I can live it out in front of my kids? And so I just started to take one verse at a time. And I remember even before Hadley could really talk, I was like, you know, she may not be picking up much of this, but I'm going to say the verse aloud because I need this. And so that's how it started for us. And then when she started singing songs like the Eensy Weensy Spider, I thought, well, if you can sing that, then surely you can sing back something like Genesis 1:1, you know, and we started to sing God's word together.
Sing it for us.
Okay, well, that one was actually based on a pop song.
Okay,
so I make up my own beats. This one was based on a popular pop song that I can't think of off the top of my head at the moment, but it was like this. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:1, that's how the earth began. Do you guys know that song?
No. I know Genesis 1:1.
So that's how it started for us. And we just kept going. And then one day I was going through like this little packet of cards that we had, and it had all of Psalm 1, which is 6 verses. And I came to this realization that, wow, she's about 3 and we memorized a chapter. I thought, how awesome is that? Maybe we could do another. So I started looking for other short psalms, and I realized this is the songbook for God's people. Like, these are meant to be sung. These are kind of easy to memorize. So we just started memorizing psalms. And one day along the way, I shared that on Instagram. And then all of the people following me, a lot of them started to do the song with their kids. So I thought, oh my goodness, like this is such a fun way to be memorizing scripture with other believers. And so we just started sharing online, and that's how it all started. And I'm telling you, it was birthed out of my own need. And now I'm almost like, guys, I need you guys to help me memorize, because especially as I find myself just getting lethargic as a tired mom, they are such wonderful accountability partners for me in hiding God's word in my heart. And I'm telling you what, I just, it's almost like I can't live without it. And it's such a joy to get to do that alongside my kiddos and to see them delighting in God's word too. It just hits like all these different areas of desiring to know and love God in my particular season when I feel like I have limited time, and then also enabling me to teach the commands of the Lord to my children. I think about Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then it talks about teaching the commands of the Lord to your children. And it says, do it when you sit, when you rise, when you lie down, like basically do it all the time. And I think scripture memory is really the vehicle by which we do that.
Mm. Okay, I do have a question.
Yeah.
How is scripture memory different between 3-year-old Hadley and 3-year-old Beau?
So different. So Hadley is
firstborn girl, yes, versus third child boy.
Hadley was extremely verbal, and I did not know that because she was my first child. So I just thought like every child at 21 months has like a full vocabulary and is saying things like actually. Beau didn't really talk until he was 2 and really started stringing sentences together at like 2.5. So, oh man, it's so fun. For my book, we actually recorded videos with Lifeway where we're doing scripture memory and trying to help families figure out like how do we employ these tactics if we've never done it before, and if we just feel like really insecure. And during the videos, you'll see that Beau is mainly just banging on the table, shaking his booty, picking his nose. Like he does not pick up most of the verses, but I have to tell you, Jamie, that when we sit down to pray for meals, when he starts his prayers, because we've memorized so many Psalms at this point, instead of saying, thank you, God, for Hadley, for Davy, he'll say, praise the Lord for Hadley. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for Davy. And I'm like, there's nothing more precious. There may be only 3 words that he's gotten from this whole process, but he is beginning to pray the words of scripture. And that's a delight to my heart, and it's worth the investment, even if he doesn't have very many verses in his like scripture memory tool belt.
Well, this is what we were talking about earlier, like that every little investment in Bible literacy matters.
Yeah.
And it matters where Beau is, where he's different than where Hadley was. And I think that's an encouragement for moms listening too, because they're like, I don't know if my kid could do this.
Totally.
I don't know if I can do this. And you're like, you can start small and you can do this.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to share where they can see these videos and stuff that you're speaking of. But what are, like, if a mom is in the car or she's on a walk, you know when people listen to podcasts, or she's changing diapers right now, or she's nursing in the middle of the night right now. Everyone listens in great places. I love it so much. Where do we start? Where do we start with our kids with Bible memory?
I think repetitive reading is the first place to start. And also, if you're in a season where reading isn't an option, repetitive listening is another way to really start. And it's, I mean, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Like when you begin to listen to these things repetitively, I mean, scripture tells us to meditate on it day and night. So that means we're going to be taking it in a lot. I've been thinking a lot about this because I spend a lot of time on social media. I know you do too. Mm-hmm. I love social media. I love connecting with other people via social media. But there's times when I spend a lot of time on social media and I start to see those things coming out in my behavior. And so I think a good like place to start self-examining how I'm spending my time is just looking at like what is coming out and what am I regularly reaching for. And if you're not regularly reaching for God's word, then maybe just start to notice the things that you are regularly reaching for and see how either you can combine the behavior and the practice of repetitively listening or repetitively reading with those things, or maybe eliminate some of the behaviors that you're regularly reaching for, like Instagram, and instead try and replace it with something like the YouVersion or like the Bible reading app, whatever Bible reading app you use. And so I think looking for those pockets of time where you're repetitively engaging in a behavior and thinking, how can I redeem this time and take in God's word in those moments is a great place to start. And it may just start with something as simple as a Bible CD. Like, I love Slugs and Bugs, Randall Good Game. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I have so many verses memorized as a result of Randall's songs, and they're great for adults too, even though they're oriented towards kids.
I love it. A couple of years ago when I first did the Read Through Your Bible with Tara Lee Cobble, and big fans of her over here, and would listen to her podcast and stuff. In that season, when I first did that, I didn't have any drivers in my family. Now I have three boys that drive. Everything. It's amazing. But I was also in charge of like early morning, like carpool for football.
So blessed.
Caden would be in the car. I can't remember what kid it was actually. And I would always have to pick up people. But listen, let me tell you something. Teenage boys do not want to chat with you at 5:30 in the morning. So I would do my audio Bible listening.
Yes.
And I'm like, these kids, his friends are probably like, your mom is weird because we have to listen to the craziest things in the morning. But anyhow, the audio stuff that we have access to now.
Oh, for sure.
And the internet. I mean, we have everything is at our fingertips.
For sure.
And so there are so many ways that you can make this possible. In fact, everything you've listed, everything we have, we'll put it in the show notes. So guys, if you're like, I don't remember what she said, you'll just go to jamieivy.com/HH479. That's the show, and you can find everything there. Hunter, your book.
Aw.
So cute. Okay, tell us about your book real quick. It comes out April 19th.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. Man, I feel like I should just be thanking you because really, not to go back to it, but I'm just like, so much of what I'm doing, Jamie, is from watching you from times past and just thinking, wow, you know, you gave me such confidence to just step out there. And so thank you, because I don't know if this book would have happened had I not started a podcast long ago, which is really just a reality of having watched you do that, seeing how much fun you had doing that, and then really feeling like, man, maybe I could do this too, because of the way that you approached it with so much humility and grace.
And you are doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I am doing it.
You are doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, it was one of those things that I thought, man, I don't think I'll ever write a book. But one day I sat down, Brooks gave me an hour to read my Bible. And instead of reading my Bible, I wrote a poem. And it was all about the Bible. And it was really birthed from a suggestion that I received from someone to write a book on how to memorize scripture with your kids. And I want to cry when I think about that suggestion, because I don't think any mom needs any more books telling her what to do. I was so convinced in that moment that that's the last thing that a mom needs, is yet another book telling her what to do. But I thought, what if we had something that could help come alongside moms and families who want to employ scripture memory and Bible intake with their children. But if you're like me, a lot of times that just comes with a lot of grumbling and complaining. So how could we get kids excited about God's word? And out of my own excitement for God's word, I just wrote a poem, which I love that your book also was rhyming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard to write a rhyming book, but they're so fun to read. And so I thought maybe this book will just enable moms to sit down and read about what the Bible is about and why it's important that we're intaking the truths of God's word with their kids, so that it might bolster their understanding of the importance of God's word. And so that's really how it came about. And then the rest is kind of history. It's been really fun.
I love it. Read it, see it, say it, sing it, knowing and loving the Bible. You guys, it comes out April 19th. I'm 100% sure you can pre-order it now.
Yeah.
Get it wherever books are. Hunter, what are you loving and what are you reading these days?
Oh my goodness. I am loving reading about Amy Carmichael. I'm working on another project right now. And so I've been doing a deep dive. I know everybody probably knows and loves Amy Carmichael. She's a missionary. She did mission work in multiple countries, actually. But in the latter part of her life, she worked in India. And it's just been so inspiring reading about her life. I mean, even today, as I was coming to this interview, I felt like I feel so incapable of saying something wise on the happy hour when you've had so many wonderful guests. And I thought about Amy Carmichael, who had this little ask and receive book where she would write down every prayer request that she had and God's answers. And you look at her life and you think, she asked some really audacious things of the Lord. I mean, she was a single missionary in India caring for literally hundreds, maybe thousands of children that she had rescued from prostitution in India. And people thought, that is haphazard. Like, you ought not be doing that. How could you care for all of those children well? And yet she continued to ask the Lord and he continued to provide.
Wow.
So looking at missionaries' lives and people's lives from church history has really been, that's been something I'm loving right now, because it's helping me see, like, they navigated really hard things and this is how they leaned into being faithful in what the Lord had called them to. And then it encourages me to, like, be faithful in what he set before me.
I love that. I read a book years ago and I'm probably going to mess up the name. 10 People Who Changed the World.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think I've seen the title for that.
Loved it. And it was like that. You're looking back at 10 people's lives and just going, wow. I mean, it is like that. Like you spoke of earlier, like looking back at God's faithfulness and how we can be like, okay, he's been faithful then, he's going to be faithful today. We should do that in our own lives.
Yes.
But even looking back at like those who have come before us in the faith and going, okay, like God's got a pretty good record here with like faithfulness. And so I can read their story and lean on it. I love to hear that.
So that's what I'm loving.
Anything else you're loving?
You know, I'm always loving my Yeti mug, which is so basic and like so old, but I almost brought it traveling just because that's how much I love drinking out of this Yeti mug. I think as a mom, like my coffee's always getting cold, but for it to be in the Yeti and to stay like hot just that little bit longer is something that I love. And then I always put froth in. Are you dairy free still?
Listen, I'm not anything. I like, I'm really weird that I don't like milk in my coffee.
Yeah.
So I'm dairy free creamer.
Yeah.
But I'll eat a pizza like it's nobody's business. So it's like, it's so funny. I'll be like, do you have anything dairy free? But I'll take cheese on my salad. I mean, so I have zero thing in my life, except I do like dairy free creamer.
Yeah. Preferences. Well, so I'm dairy free. And so I love frothing my dairy free creamer in my Sakura milk frother and then pouring it into my Yeti mug every morning. That is like the essence of my simple joy. So
maybe I need to froth my creamer.
You need a frother. I should have brought you a frother.
Is it the thing that stirs it?
No.
Oh.
It. Yeah. I'll have to send you the link.
Send me the link.
Sakura milk frother. It's the only one that does the dairy-free stuff really well.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm totally into this.
It's a lifestyle.
I don't ever desire frothing my milk, but the way you speak of it makes me want to.
You will. You'll never. And see, this is, I was talking about something. So I was talking about this with someone else. I think this is what, you know, when we think about instilling a love for God's word with our children, this is what it is. It's like, I knew the love for frothed dairy-free creamer because of my sister. She said, man, you're never going to be the same after you have this dairy-free creamer. And I'm telling you the truth, I never have been the same. Like, I love it every single day. And it's the same with God's word. And I think when we have that kind of infectious desire for God's word and we share it with others, it gets them excited about it too. But yeah, I have to say, you're never going to be the same after you have silk oatmeal. Oat yeah is what it is.
Okay, so guys, Jesus and oat yeah will change your life forever. That is where this podcast is landing. You summed up the whole show very brilliantly right there. Before you go, I cannot let you go though without telling people about your podcast.
Oh,
so Journey Women, give us a little summary real quick, and so we can send people over there.
Yeah, you know, I just felt like I had a host of mentors in my own life, and I desired to share them with other women who I was interfacing with on post as a young military wife. And honestly, I don't know if you remember this, Jamie, but I just remember in the early years of the happy hour, I just felt like I could not get enough like happy hour. It was back when you did like the Friday. Do you remember the Friday
half
thing?
Hours?
Friday happy half hour. I mean, I was just like, where, you know, where's more content? There weren't very many podcasts out there five years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to think, what if I took some of the mentors that God had blessed me with through my time at Pine Cove and through our time spent in wonderful local churches, and what if I shared them with the women who I was interfacing with on post, who I was beginning to have spiritual conversation with maybe for the first time? And so I started to share those. And then it was really amazing to see the response. I think other women are just really hungry for mentors to be speaking into their life. I think the best place for that to happen is the context of their local church, but also Journey Women has drawn a really transient demographic. There are some women who are either missionaries or maybe pastors' wives or military who are just moving really frequently and who yearn for kind of that Titus 2 discipleship in their life. And they're having a hard time finding that due to the transiency of their life.
Yeah.
And so Journey Women has been, I think, a really helpful tool for women who are in those seasons to come alongside them and to continue reminding them of what's true, even on whatever part of their journey they're facing.
I love it. You guys, you're already listening to the podcast because you're listening to us right now. Go check it out. And I forgot to say, we're big Panko fans over here.
Yeah.
I know you and Brooks met there. What was your name?
Oh, my name. I almost forgot. Santa Paws.
Santa Paws. And what was Brooks?
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to remember. His is... Oh.
So the counselors all have these like funny names, and they all meet at the beginning of the summer. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been a Pine Cove counselor. They all meet at the beginning of the summer and like share their stories, and then everyone decides on their name, and they're really funny.
His name escapes me. I can't remember.
It's okay. My kids have been going to Pine Cove for years and years and years. We're big, big fans of Pine Cove. They do great work. So
we grew a ton through our time there, and I'm super grateful because that's how I met Brooks.
I love it. Hunter, thank you for coming on the Happy Hour.
Oh, it's gone by so fast. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. We are truly grateful for every single story that we get to share with you, every encouragement we get to give you, and every opportunity we get to point all of us to Jesus. If you're loving this show, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, tell your friends. That is the number one way that people find out about our show. It's because you tell them. Join us right here every Wednesday and Friday for meaningful conversations that will make us think, they'll make us laugh, and they'll always point us back to Jesus. And come find me other places on the internet as well. I love Instagram. I'm over there at Jamie Ivey. And if you've never visited my YouTube page, you're going to want to go there. Have you ever listened to a show and wondered, I wonder what they look like? Well, go find us over there. It's jamieivey.com/YouTube. The Happy Hour is produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell. Graphics are by Amaya Savoy Easton. The show is edited by Angie Elkins. And I'm your host every week, Jamie Ivey. And goodness gracious, I love being here with you guys. Until next time, have a happy hour with a friend.